Behold, there came wise men from the east. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Generally, at Epiphany, we do the star that stands for faith, and our reaction, our response, say rather, to this marvelous gift of faith, which is that we should fall down in adoration, and like the wise men of old, give our all, that we should open our treasures, each one of us, and that we should give to God, at St. Gertrude the Great, not out of our abundance, not out of necessity, some vague sense of guilt or obligation, no, but that we should give what we have, all that we have, and all that we are to Almighty God. Such rich symbols are of our faith are these, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. You know they stand for the royalty of Christ and our Lord's divinity, the frankincense, and then the myrrh, mortification, the death of our blessed Savior. What an indication for all of us in our living as well as in our giving. For us, to give is normal. How could we not? And so even though it is we priests today who say thank you to you tonight for everything, and we give you a mass and we give you some dinner, but really we understand that you, for what you do for us, for who you are for us, you could never adequately be thanked. And that there is, in another sense, before you say it, I will, there's no need for us to thank you, because you don't do it for us, you do it for God. You don't do it for human reward or recognition, you do it for heaven and for God and for his glory. For us to give is a bit as it is to love. That is to say, it is a necessity of our supernatural nature, of our faith, our deep Catholic faith. And just as Our Lady, when she surveyed the scene of the prostrate wise men before her baby on her lap, and then opening their treasures and the gold and the wonderful fragrance of the frankincense falling out at the baby's feet, she would never have thought to say, thank you. Those words would have been so inadequate and indeed out of place. So too do we feel when we give our gifts to our newborn king. And we include in these treasures for which we are so thankful to our Lord the gift of the priesthood. Think about that with me for a moment this evening, dear faithful. Today, sometimes even our Catholics, and certainly those who have fallen into the new way of believing or not believing, consider the priest to be a bit of a wise guy. But truly, a priest is a wise man. And he is truly a king. And did you know that the wise men of old, the Magi, were priests in their old religion, in fire worship, in their native Persia? Each priest, I'm thinking today, really is another of the elusive group of the Magi. Even from his air, the appearance he carries about with him, there is something about the priest which is quaint and which is exotic and more than colorful. For a priest, especially today, he may as well be a Persian got up in a turban and silk robes, dromedary or camels at the ready for his transportation, and led off by some unseen star. For the way people respond and react often to the priesthood. You know, the ancient Persians, they were Zoroastrians, we would say today, The ancient Persians believed that at each birth of a person on earth, each baby's birth was marked by the birth of a star, and that somehow that individual's destiny was linked to that of the star, and that when the person died, his star would die as well. And that the Magi, these three priests of ancient Persia, and that the Magi once a month for a few days would climb a mountain and would survey the skies for any signs of extraordinary celestial activity. And that on the night of our dear Savior's birth, they saw a star over towards the Holy Land, but such a star that the star took the shape of a baby, and over his head, crowning him, was a cross. And nothing would do but that they had to say goodbye to wives and children and family and temple and everything they knew and everything they loved, and to follow that star. They're not sure how long the trip took. Some say the camels were fast. It was 13 days. Others, to get there in time for Epiphany. Others, that it took 3 months. Others give them more of a year. But they arrived finally at Bethlehem. They followed that star. And they say that the star changed appearance from time to time as the wise men followed it. Now, if, I say if, for we need your prayers, if a priest follows the star of his vocation and of his faith, his is then a true divine destiny to serve Almighty God and for God's sake those who are made and redeemed in his image and likeness. The priest in the divine plan is the star of our spiritual life. No, I do not mean in some glitzy Hollywood way, but in the glowing, holy, rude way. There are sometimes, sadly, priests who want to be media stars, centers of attention and of devotion themselves. But I do not speak of them. I speak of the humble, lost, hidden priest for hours in the shadows of a confessional or preparing souls to receive and then distributing the Holy Eucharist and offering the sacrifice of the Mass. But how often is not the word of a priest, whether it be the sacramental words themselves or some word of counsel, of command, or of instruction, a star in the darkness of depression, confusion, whatever it might be, to clear it all up so that you can see brightly again and follow your way. The great sacraments, especially penance and the Holy Eucharist, are the preeminent stars for the salvation of all of us, which is why we must still have priests properly trained and duly ordained priests. How could we ever make it to heaven without being able to confess our sins and to be absolved? How could we ever persevere in that long journey following the star of the Catholic vocation, the faith that is ours, unless we were fed along the way by our viaticum, our holy food for the journey, the body and the blood of our Savior. The vocation of all of us, the first star of each Catholic, priest and layman alike, is that of the faith. But without these other stars, why, our faith would surely diminish and grow dim and fade away, swallowed up finally in some black hole of hopelessness. Every true priest is a wise man and a king and a priest, one of the Magi, by training, by ordination, for administration of the sacraments. But first, as for you, the call to our faith in holy baptism. His star, the priest's, I mean, what he has to do when he climbs his mountain and spots it, his star makes him too to leave family, but more, they went home another way, but they made it home, the three kings did. But a priest must give up the right to have a family and children with the ineffable joys. He gives up and leaves behind any prospect of a quiet or of a normal life, of fitting in with others and not standing out, a life with its satisfactions and its sorrows too. These are not for a priest. And the priest today, let's be clear about it, has to give up everything to follow that star and to be the star of the sacraments for you, whether it be security or respectability or even the right to his own good name. All of these things go like falling stars, and they just disappear. And the priest is too busy being the star to even notice or worry about it. But especially, I think, this evening, how could I not? Throughout the whole of our St. Gertrude history, all of the priests who have come to us from afar, these exotic magi, wise men, priests, kings, kingly in their bearing, full of the power of the Most High. We couldn't call them foreigners. That would be too cold a phrase. They are the ones, what an example, who have left not only all of the above, but who have left language and culture and home to serve God for his own sake and glory, and to serve God by serving us. How many have we seen here over the years? How many have we helped and followed? You have, and ordained. How many have come to St. Gertrude the Great over the years, sometimes for a visit, sometimes to help us for an occasion, a few weeks, a few months, a year or more. Fathers from as far away as Mexico and Chile and Finland. God bless them all. How blessed are we that our firmament should shine with stars still tonight in this dark, dark night of the faith and of the church. What gifts we have been given. We have only to open the treasures and present them to the divine child. How could our star not burn bright? How could we not ask then, where is the king? That's the question we all have to ask today. Where's the king? Where is the king? When we enter into the holy city and we are confronted only with murderous old Herod, who would take away our souls and strangle the life out of them. How could we not then follow our priests, follow our stars, get out our gifts, and following his example, bow down and adore, and then when it's time to go back, we remember what's going on in the holy city. And again with our priest, our wise men, our magi, we go back a different way. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.